We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, as if ISIS isn't bad enough, we've got Donald Trump's new budget. So we'll take a look at what's in there and question the moral values of anyone who would actually write a budget such as this. And we're also going to get you caught up on what's happening in Manchester, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest things from the past week, and all the usual nonsense that you have come to associate with this fine, fine, fine radio program. Hi, kids.
Well, hello,
baby. Everybody with me? Okay, everybody's there. That's
good. Et cetera.
Yeah, that's a, you walk in. You walk in and everything's turned off and set the wrong way. And, you know, we're used to it by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to summer?
Summer's been canceled. There was no summer.
I purposely came out tonight being like, oh my God, I don't need a coat, whatever. And then found myself going to my car being like, there has to be a coat in there.
Last week you gave me so much hope with the weather forecast and it being nice. And this upcoming weekend being the long weekend, it's, you know, meant for cookouts, being outside,
sleeveless shirts,
doing anything under the sun.
Yeah, no. So,
literally?
No, not this year.
No.
Not this year. No. It is absolutely not meant for any of that.
I still have my winter coat.
Yeah.
I would say it feels like that winter when it was like 70 degrees on Christmas.
May 24th.
Yeah. It was cute.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like it's a crazy New England weather.
Oh yeah!
Yay, fun! Yeah, it's gonna be a crappy weekend. On the plus side, you won't have to water your lawn, so you got that going for you.
And once again, we have no news. No news.
No,
at all.
No. Quiet it's news week. I don't know how we're going to keep this thing going. If nothing keeps happening in the world,
can people start like committing more crimes, please? Like that would really help all of us out. But speaking of crime, there is one important story in local news. According to police, a waitress at Friendly's in Quincy was robbed at knife point by a still unidentified woman. On Sunday night around 8 o'clock, the female suspect entered the restaurant on Hancock Street in Wollaston and allegedly asked a waitress to lead her to the restroom after claiming that she was partially blind. As the suspect and the waitress reached the restroom door, the suspect pulled out a black knife and demanded the victim hand over money. The waitress gave her the cash she had on her and walked her to the front door with the suspect following behind. Before the suspect exited the restaurant and headed south on Hancock Street. The suspect is still at large and is being described as a female of medium build with dark hair who is wearing black pants, a pink t-shirt, and a black jacket. And she was said to be under the influence of drugs and or alcohol. And because she's still at large, I feel obligated to say anyone with any information about this should contact Detective Monteith of the Quincy Police at 617-745-5767.
She's blind, too. So
she's
that's
allegedly. I mean,
that's what she said.
That's
to be
fair. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is terrible. But to be fair, I mean, not the worst plan in terms of robbing somebody.
I have a disability.
Lead me to a dark place because I'm not going to know that it's a dark place. I'm blind.
Did she seem less blind when she was running out of the Friendlies? Is that how we've come to that conclusion?
So.
I think the plan was good, but your first problem is that, one, you're going to Friendlies. Two, you're going to anywhere Quincy. If you want to get some money, come get me in the Seaport. Well, that's not... I'm not asking you to do that, but that is where you are going to get
that's why I think the mention of the fact that drugs may have been involved is very important.
You have a situation where it doesn't matter what type of money or how much.
It's just an amount.
If you get $20 out of it, I'm sure a junkie is going to be very happy with that. But it is. I mean, when you hear stories like this thinking about just the basis of it, you have a waitress or a waiter that is doing a good deed by leading somebody with a disability to a restroom, and then the next thing you know, you have a knife up into your stomach.
Find your own way to the bathroom, blindy. That's the response
Is that what we're going to have to do?
As your reaction was the same as mine, which is, it's kind of brilliant because having worked in the service industry as of you for several years, that's something that worries me all the time is like, I'm wearing a waitressing uniform. They know I have a bunch of cash on me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, walking through, it's not so bad now, but when we first opened in the Seaport, now I'm talking about almost 6.5 years ago, it was very unfinished, where is it is now. There's lights everywhere. Massport is all over the place. But walking to, I'm going to say, about a mile from the location of my restaurant to where my car would be. Mm-hmm. Now I just don't care, and I park across the street and feed my meter all night. But, yeah, that's something that you have in, you know, the back of your brain. I know somebody that lives, actually a mutual friend of all of ours, lives in Charlestown right near Pier 6. If anybody mm-hmm. knows sort of that area, it's where the barracks are.
It's where they're putting
up
it's where they're putting up high-rises to attract millennials.
Yes. Now, there is, there are really a lot of dark alleys around that way. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I know a handful to duck of people someone into. That yeah. have quit from that job because every night they were getting... held at some sort of
point.
Weapon.
yeah.
Gunpoint, knife point for money.
Tire iron point, chain yeah. point. There's a lot of different points
really
you
sharp,
could be held at.
Really sharp fingernail point.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the hospitality industry, I'm going to say it's probably 75-25 compared to people that walk away with straight cash at the end of the night compared yeah. to getting it in their check. That is a big advantage for a lot of people. They in this industry, you want to have cash.
And yeah, you want to work a six-hour shift and then walk away with 20s and 100s mm-hmm. in your hand.
And, you know, in many of these situations, you have management saying, oh, well, we'll walk you to your car and so on and making good on the corporate sense. But... in a situation like this is completely different where you're actually in the establishment, somebody is coming in, there's really no way to stop that.
Well,
how do you know?
Well,
what are you going to question everybody's intentions when they come in?
Well, and there's no protocol,
well,
too.
Well, if they're going into Friendly's, they've already made a bad choice. So, you know, no,
hey,
I'm sorry.
Hey, super melts for life.
I love Friendly's. love Friendly's.
Well, no, again, it's there's no protocol because it's not something, that's what I thought was, for lack of a better term, that's what I thought was brilliant about this robbery was just that who would ever think that would happen?
Yeah.
Who would ever think someone would walk into Friendly's and be like, I'm blind, leaving the bathroom, and then pull a knife yeah. on a waitress?
Mm-hmm. No, and it's a reality that's happening in a lot of these neighborhoods where before so many of these undesirable neighborhoods, you look at South Boston, even around here, Medford, Somerville, they're becoming Quincy, yes. These were moving outside of the circle of Boston, and it's becoming more gentrified in all of these cities.
Not mm-hmm. Quincy.
No, Quincy's actually absolutely becoming gentrified.
Mm-hmm. It's gentrified for the Po.
My middle school, I would say my middle school, which was Central Middle School on Hancock Street, has been converted into luxury condominiums.
All I know is
which a doctor I know just purchased
one
of
them.
All I know is when I was down there earlier this year, still a lot of wiggers hanging around downtown.
Oh, you were in the point.
So, you know.
There are these... you know, small petty crimes they do, and
that's what
mean to say
Crystal
petty crimes,
Weiss, a comedian, got robbed in the Quincy Center T station.
Yeah,
a couple months ago.
Oh, that's Wiggerland down there.
But it was by three hipsters.
Yeah,
like it was all millennials.
Yeah, I mean, these are
like
going to happen no matter where yeah. you are.
It's Quincy,
and unfortunately, you can't live your life every moment in fear that you're going to be. I guess you need to understand your surroundings a bit. This was just a really unfortunate event that happened. Luckily, nobody was seriously injured in it. We do have somebody that may or may not be on drugs, may or may not commit a crime again like this. Yeah, of course.
OC capital, Massachusetts.
You talk about Massachusetts and so many. Frequently, we talk about it on this show and the heroin epidemic that mm-hmm. has completely swept over our
yeah.
state.
Definitely.
And again, we look to our governor who has, on multiple occasions, posed himself as this really warrior against drugs. But I see so much talk, but really no action being done. Very, very little action. And when we're discussing something like this, these are real life situations. These are situations that happen every day that we have people that have no chance on the street or to get out and committing these sort of
things. There are certain towns north of Boston, and I live in one of them, and we are going to one of them, Lisa and I, after the show tonight, where the problem is not as bad as it is in other places mm-hmm. because the local police have basically made it their mission in life to mess up anybody mm-hmm. that even tries to deal drugs.
Well, like, look at what Gloucester was doing. I mean, Gloucester is still doing it, but they, I thought, was an amazing plan last year. They really started rolling it out and saying, we are going to get you the help that you need. Do not fear the police. If we find junkies or people on the street that are heroin addicts, we are going to take them in and use... I mean, personally, as a taxpayer, I would rather use my tax dollars to go to something like that than to just be blown away.
Well, and that's where I think there are a lot of issues that do need to be dealt with at a national level. But this is one of the ones where it really, it's important for the community, for the local government, for the local law enforcement to get involved. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to invade his privacy, but a friend I grew up with was addicted to heroin for several years. And I grew up in Quincy, represent, but this was a friend who was recovered, and they were talking about putting in a detox and rehab facility in like a very, actually right near that Friendly's in Quincy. And there were a lot of residents that were trying to fight back against it. And he got up, having been sober a couple years, he got up and spoke and said, no, this is really important. And that's what got it passed and made it allowed to be there. And I think that that's something that every town, city in Massachusetts, in the United States, I mean, anywhere that has a drug problem, which unfortunately is everywhere now.
Well, no, I mean, you look at Boston, and shame on Mayor Marty Walsh and his unions, because there have been multiple locations that have been trying to be open as a rehabilitation center or an but because the unions aren't building it, they are finding harder parameters to build it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, there was one in Charlestown a few months ago that was unable to get the licensing that it needed and regulations to be built because it wasn't union built.
Well, and
it's shameful.
Well, and that's why even more so, like I said, it has to be, sometimes you got to go grassroots, for the people, by the people, and by the people, for the people.
People don't want the rehab center in their backyard because they have visions of junkies running through the neighborhood.
Like laying on their front yard, which is fair, but also it's a matter of, well, which would you prefer? Would you prefer the random recovering junkie who happens to break out of this rehab center on your front lawn, or would you rather 20 junkies who have nowhere to go to try to get help?
But the thing is, that's not what they are. You know, by the time somebody's in one of those rehab centers, like, they're not running out of the rehab center and breaking into your house.
True. If anything, they just want a bucket to puke in.
It's not like the methadone clinic outside of Boston City, where you got people hanging around all day long waiting for their free methadone fix and then going out and robbing everybody.
Well, in the spirit, again, of trying to get these people help, if anyone has any information about the woman who robbed the Friendly's in Quincy on Sunday night, if you could please call the Quincy Police at 617-645-5767.
I don't think anybody in Quincy is listening to us because we don't play Urban Rhythms.
I beg your pardon. My mom is listening right now. Hi, Mom.
We're not doing those. We're not rocking those hip-hop jams that the Wiggers enjoy.
Hey, we like the Dropkick Murphys. Shut up. Well, in national news, subpoenas for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn piled up today as the House Intelligence Committee pressured Flynn to cooperate with this investigation into Russia's meddling in the 2016 presidential election. The prospect of new congressional subpoenas came one day after the committee's Senate counterpart served its own subpoenas to Flynn's businesses. The FBI also faced a deadline today to turn over memos written by former FBI Director James Comey detailing his discussions with President Donald Trump. One memo reportedly shows Trump pressuring Comey to shut down the Bureau's investigation into Flynn's Russia ties.
These are the days of our lives. I mean, the story keeps unfolding.
Is it the Russians again?
Like it's a soap opera.
But it's at least with reference to what we spoke about last week. You were talking about how there's a, it's all jabber, no fact. This is a step towards getting fact. This is a step towards whether it be true or untrue or somewhere lying in the middle.
Well, Flynn's going to plead the fifth. He's already made that abundantly clear to everybody.
No, and at the time when we spoke last week, there was no evidence.
Evidence on the record.
There was no evidence actually in their hands.
Yes,
I have to condemn mainstream media that pushes this rhetoric.
That pushes a constant rhetoric
or narrative without the basis of evidence. So at the time of last week, you have the Washington Post, the New York Times pushing this. Well, we saw the memos, but no, actually, you didn't. There's no evidence of it. There is that kind of clickbait headline that only people read and blame Russia.
But again, but my point is that this will, I agree with you that there was no document printed, no document published that was like, look, this is what we're talking about. This is why this story is true. These subpoenas, why I thought the story was very important, was because these subpoenas you can't just say no. There's pleading the fifth, and you got to give us this document. It's basically like having a warrant.
Right. Well, Michael Flynn's going to lawyer up and fight this every mm-hmm. step of the way.
But nonetheless, even the fact that they're asking for these documents is, I don't want to say proof. It's pointing towards the fact that this was not all conjecture. This was not all this will sound good for us and our cause. Like there is, and if it comes up that there's nothing, then I don't know, Derek, I'll buy you a really nice beer at Tavern.
The problem in all of this lies in the way that the media has approached this, because...
And I'm not denying
it has been an endless drumbeat of Trump's guilty, Trump's guilty, Trump's guilty, and there is nothing to support that.
But no, as I said last week, it's as much as, yes, some ironclad concrete evidence would be lovely, which is why this is coming up today and why this has come up in the past couple days, in the past week. But that doesn't mean that it's unfounded. It's just like being in high school when there's a rumor and you're like, oh, you have no proof of this rumor. It exists for a reason.
No,
someone didn't just wake up one morning and be like, wouldn't this be a funny thing to spread around?
Surprised.
With regards to Michael Flynn, unfortunately, you have a situation where you have a man that had business relations with Russia. Talking about, I mean, there have been accusations of him being paid $45,000 by RT. And then in August, he signed a $600,000 lobbying contract with Dutch Shell. What Donald Trump failed to do was surround himself with people that were not just in the business sector. Because we've had this conversation before in saying, yes, of course you want to treat, it's a new Washington and you want to treat Washington like a business and we're going to completely, drain the swamp and all of that.
But not an undermanaged failing one.
What he failed to understand is that there are certain people or certain things that you can't do prior to getting in the position that you have, which was an epic failure.
Here's my question. Who the hell vetted Michael Flynn before he got that appointment? Who the hell vetted this guy? Because they did a terrible job.
Well, and this is my point exactly, is that it's the same point that I made last week, which is that obviously both of you know, listeners, I do not like Trump. But that isn't from I don't like his haircut. His skin's too orange.
That's because you're a huge loser, Sad.
Huge.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw my microphone at you.
It's
just going to tear it off and throw it. Oh, trust me, I could get this off if I get angry enough. It's just this. You said huge and it totally threw me off. It's the sheer fact of that there are things that he just didn't. He came in being like, ooh, I'll be president. This seems fun. This seems like a good idea.
We're in complete pro-Trump backers, which is false.
No. But I do agree
with you with that. And in the first sense of, wow, I can't believe how far I got. I can't believe that this is still continuing. And now I'm being inaugurated the presidency.
Look, I think,
and it's kind of
I think he had every intention of winning. But here's the thing. We voted in, not any of us individually.
I'd say kind of playing it fast and loose with the term we, aren't
but
you?
We the people.
The majority.
We do represent the people. We the people.
The majority.
Voted in a complete political amateur. Okay? And what's happening, all of this.
Derek Gary for president.
All of these stories that the Washington Post and
my left toe for president
and Marty Baron keep throwing out every single day are just amateur hour shenanigans.
But this is my point, is that It's almost the most bothersome thing about it isn't that he's inexperienced, isn't that he's an amateur, isn't that he keeps making all these mistakes. It's the sheer fact that he won't admit it. He will back up every mistake he makes and everything he does till he and all of us are blue in the face.
Wow, I'm going to say that's a typical man.
That's what makes him an effective leader.
But that's the
leader.
Thing is that we don't need a typical man as her leader. But
that's you know what makes that him an effective leader.
Really? Because he's not affecting me and more than half of the population. He's not. I mean,
by you saying half the population, are you going by the screaming children that are constantly on the internet saying how bad Trump is
in
Russia? But when we talk to just the facts of what is happening, yes, it was bad that Michael Flynn got the position that he did. Was it right that he was exited out as quickly as he was? Yes.
Yeah.
And this is why we have Senate and these hearings and try to figure out what is going on, how this happened, and how can this not happen again. With regards to Comey, that is a whole other issue where now we are getting into a little bit murkier waters.
But here's the thing. No, I don't see anything murky about it. You have the Washington Post and Marty Dipstick Barron down there. Running around like it's
Sorry,
Watergate.
I like the word dipstick.
It's Watergate. It's not Watergate.
Well, we don't have
it.
It is a complete political neophyte who gets elected president of the United States and is basically going to Comey, going to the NSA director, going to the chairman of the joint, you know, going to the CIA director and saying, can we just forget about the Russia thing?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not strong arming them. This isn't Richard Nixon, who is an experienced politician, hiring people to go break in to the Democratic National Headquarters. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who's used to doing deals with a handshake and a slap on the back, going up to these guys and saying, hey, can this thing go away? They're saying, you know, that's inappropriate. No, it can't go away.
He's not turning around and saying,
let's talk about what Debbie Wasserman Schultz is doing.
But you're precisely
over a laptop.
You're precisely making my point, though, which is that obviously I don't want to say I was the last person that wanted him to be elected because sorry, Hillary. But when he got elected,
you're a misogynist. Hillary said so.
Mm-hmm. Misogyny.
I never denied that. but when he got elected, I was hoping that one of two things would happen, both of which were very possible. One, he would rise to the occasion. He would, you know, like pull himself up by his bootstraps, figure this out, look at historically what's worked, do research, get himself educated on what he's supposed to do in this thing he has no idea about, or bow out. Those were the two things that he could have done. He's doing neither of those. He's just kind of trudging along, being like, whoopsies, this doesn't matter that much, right?
Yeah, but you're also having to deal with a very, very large spotlight. Obviously, there is always going to be a spotlight on the president, but there are so many external factors that are constantly being dealt with, that are constantly being questioned.
Our last president was a black man in a mainly,
voted in for a second term.
No, I'm
so clearly
I'm not,
the majority of the country is not that racist.
But
considering they voted a black man,
a lot of them don't vote. First of all,
but you can't.
Second of all, but I well, I'm
but
only.
But you cannot
I'm
deny
meaning,
how many people.
I'm only
one
meaning
at a time.
I'm only meaning to make a parallel between the fact that. That's the excuse I always hear is, well, you know, it's such a big this, it's such a big that. Yeah, you're the president of the United States. You're the president of one of the most powerful countries in the world. Yeah, it's going to be hard. And yeah, you're going to get a lot of backlash. And yeah, there's going to be all these things coming from every single direction trying to bring you down. The last guy seemed to deal with it okay.
Yeah, but you can honestly tell me if there was a different person, maybe with some sort of political background.
Obama.
There is somebody else in Trump's position right now that had the same people around him. Would he have such scrutiny and such a spotlight on him or her?
Obama.
If it was Hillary Clinton.
Would they have done differently? Absolutely.
CNN, MSNBC, every New York Times, Washington Post, beyond Hillary Clinton.
No, I posted.
Of course
it
they would.
I posted
it
that.
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. There's always
Harvard
going to be
University.
There's always going to be some kind
and
of backlash.
Shameful.
There's always going to be some kind of, and I'm not saying it's fair. It's not fair. that no, CNN and the New York
media
Times
would just say,
but there's always going to be some kind of backlash.
Both. Harvard University published a study last week finding that, and I posted this on Facebook, to your attention, Shay, finding that the media coverage of Donald Trump is historically negative.
And I'm not denying that.
So,
nor have I.
Barack Obama, number one, didn't have to deal with that.
I beg to differ.
He did not.
From the same media sources.
I could go back because the coverage of Barack Obama was not nearly as negative as it was. It was, in his first 100 days, somewhere around 55% negative. For Donald Trump, 80%.
And again,
80% negative.
And again, at the point that I keep making is, what does that tell you? Yes, a lot of it's based on conjecture. A lot of it's based on wanting to get ratings. A lot of it's based on A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's not unfounded.
It tells me that there is a tremendous amount. By the way, Fox News also, their coverage primarily negative, although to a lesser extent than other sources.
And
it
again,
tells me,
you're saying this is a witch hunt when it may actually be calling someone out.
It tells me that there is a tremendous amount of media bias and media myopia involved in all of this, primarily because everybody down there has their certain way that they like to do things. There is an elite ruling class in this country, and our mainstream media, the network media, likes to believe that they are a part of that elite ruling class. They're not, but licking boots is the way that they keep their seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the elite ruling class has decided that their boots need to be licked on the subject of Donald Trump, whether there is anything there or not. Now, I'm not setting aside the fact that there is a certain oafish quality about this president. He really is a Neanderthal with a baseball bat in a China shop.
I had a nickel for every time somebody undersold a concept. Anyways,
if Hillary Clinton was the president right now, and we were talking about, or
I never said I wanted Hillary Clinton to be president,
but I'm just giving some sort of contrast and talking about mainstream media bringing up Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all of the emails, and we found out that Hillary,
talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is actually obstructing justice as we speak.
She actually did say, hush, hush, let this go away. If Hillary Clinton was president currently, we would not have such a focus on that, whereas we do with James Comey, Michael Flynn.
If Hillary Clinton was president currently, we would be in our second civil war.
No.
That's an exaggeration. I apologize.
You're actually more likely to get a civil war if Donald Trump is removed from office.
I was basing that on when they were trying to do the campaign to change the electoral votes to try to get them in Hillary's favor. You can't say if this, if that. And yes, I agree. Obviously, the liberal media would not be as harsh on Hillary. Absolutely. But taking out their personalities, taking out their political views, taking out the fact that he's a man, she's a woman, anything else you want about them. Part of the reason that it wouldn't be there wouldn't be as much of a media backlash on Hillary is because she knew how to do this job. She knows how to be president. She knows, or at least she knows how to have a position of political power. He does not. Hillary would not be sitting on Twitter in the mornings, which, by the way, he's backed off of Twitter in the past couple days since he's done his international tour, because he's realized how stupid it makes him and our country look.
It's a fair point. I don't argue that point at all.
But
however,
it's also a fact, though, that she has obstructed justice, that she
Set that aside. We're talking about Trump.
Neither here
I don't
nor
want to
there,
hear about
though.
Hillary. We're talking about Trump, okay? That's a fair point, Shay. And that's 100% a fair point. But there are two ways that the media could go about this, okay? The media could tease, and the media could say, hey, look, Trump screwed up again today, ha-ha, and it's funny. Or the media could antagonize and say it's the end of the world. And what the media has continually done since Election Day is antagonize and say it's the end of the world.
And again, I am not condoning what the media has done. I am merely saying that there's, while it's exaggerated, And while it's obviously just looking for ratings, looking for this, looking for that, there's always a kernel of truth in anything that they report. At least, even if it's the tiniest kernel, even if it's over-exaggerated, it's, you can't just poof, make a story appear out of thin air.
As I've said, there is an oafish quality to this president. Okay?
And as I've said, that is the understatement of the year.
And there is a lot of amateur hour.
I would say that makes him seem really cute, which makes me uncomfortable.
He is in a certain way. And there is a lot of amateur hour stuff coming out of this White House.
Very true.
There is some question about what the intent of some of these things may be. And whether or not this is a guy who was legitimately trying to derail an investigation because he has something to hide, or if this is just Trump being Trump, not understanding the rules and not realizing, hey, when you tell the director of the NSA to back off the investigation, you're obstructing FBI. Justice, Mr. President. Mm-hmm. Oh, not just the FBI. I mean, he told the director of the NSA, yep. he told a bunch of people to back off the investigation, okay? Not a good look.
No.
Again, and if you were to make assumptions
again,
on why you think this is
happening. Not necessarily criminal.
But if you were to make assumptions on why this is happening, my first instinct would be he just doesn't understand.
Stop right there. I am not in the business of making assumptions.
But I'm just saying it for the sake of conversation.
That's not our job. For the sake of conversation, that's not our job. It is not our job.
But we are not print publications that are convincing people.
But here's the thing. It's
for audio
not,
I'm just trying to set my. I'm just trying to put myself in his mindset and what he believes is going on.
Forget
right
about
now.
His mindset. It is not
like trying a dark to figure and terrible out. I mean, this place. Is what you do when you try.
It
to.
It is not the job. I mean, if anything, this show, the three of us, has a little bit more latitude to do this sort of thing because we are not journalists by trade, and this is a hybrid sort of news and talk show. Okay, but even then. I am a former journalist. I follow the rules, okay? When I speculate, I tell people I'm speculating. I don't get on here breathless every single week and say, we've got more damning news about Donald Trump for you tonight.
That is the basis of every single
MSNBC, CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, the BBC, over and over again. More damning info, breaking news. Donald Trump's lawyered up. Breaking news, subpoenas issued. Breaking news, Russia.
No, and how many times, though, have we said
the hell
you cannot
is this?
Infer anything without evidence?
Right. So, until...
I'm just trying to figure out...
Until somebody puts a smoking gun in front of me, which is why the subpoenas are good, and you're right on that point, Shea Spillane. Until somebody puts evidence in front of me that says Trump was colluding with the Russians, Trump knew what was going on, and Trump has deliberately been trying to stall or derail this investigation, I have to assume that our orange oaf of a president is simply doing what he's done his entire life and trying to make...
Which is be an orange oaf.
And trying to make gentlemen's agreements to have things go away. It works. It works in real estate. It works in New York. It works in small town politics. You can't do it when you're the president of the United States of America.
No, you
Lesson
cannot.
Learned. Let's move on.
But that's... But I'm... Well, to, in the interest of being diplomatic, let's see if he can.
That's a very open question at this point. This is WMFO Medford. In world news, the death toll from Monday night's bombing at the Manchester Center Arena following an Ariana Grande concert stands at 22 with 119 injured. Salman Ramadan Abdi, a Manchester native and son of immigrant Libyan parents, exploited a loophole in security by walking into an unsecured area near the arena's exit from the adjacent Victoria Station, then detonated a bomb packed with nuts and nails to amplify the carnage. Abdi was known to UK security forces, but was considered a peripheral figure, similar to Khalid Massoud, who killed 5 and injured 50 in a car and knife attack at Westminster just 2 months ago. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack, but investigators have not yet established a clear connection between Abdi and the terror group. 6 arrests as of 7:34 tonight, including his father and his brother in Libya. There is now every bit of reason to suspect that this was an organized attack. Mm-hmm. Increasingly looks like ISIS. I'm hearing Al-Qaeda being tossed around as well. We don't know for sure. What they do seem to agree on, the investigators who are pulling in additional people and studying all the evidence, number one, the bomb was not made in Abadie's apartment. They know that because there was no residue, no evidence of any sort of bomb-making materials there. Number two, they don't seem to think he was smart enough to have put this bomb together, which tells me that there was a particular type of explosive that was used that he would not have had the sophistication
on his own
to assemble. There are certain explosives that are commonly used by both ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So once we know the type of explosive, we may know a little bit more about which group was responsible for this.
Now, just to get kind of some retrospect on to what it is, if everybody remembers the Boston Marathon bombing, and whereas that backpack was not attached to the bomber, it was placed on the side, but it had the same sort of effect where it had shrapnel, it had small bolts and screws inside of it, so when it blew up, it completely shredded everything around it inside a circle around the bomber, which is right near the kind of main lobby entrance. Of course, when you first hear of anything of the sorts, it is incredibly tragic, so sad. To know that it was at a kid's concert that is geared towards, and I mean, I get it, there were parents there were people in their 20s, 30s, but for the majority, an Ariana Grande demographic is what, 8 to 20?
Yeah.
And
no, younger
how
than that.
Innocent that is.
Well, this target was deliberately chosen, make no mistake about that.
Well, and especially with...
Well, think about what is the least amount of people to fight back, or...
No, that's not the point. The point is to kill children. That's why this target was chosen.
Well, and not
the point is to kill children.
Well, not just children, but children of the, for lack of a better term, developed... in the now English speaking American and English and superpower related, I feel like there is, and I'm not trying to put any words in any terrorist mouths, but the fact that it was an American performer performing in England, another superpower, in Manchester, the second biggest city in England, it's not as though they did this at an Italian pop star show in Rome. There was a definite statement being made by the fact that this is an American artist, where a decent chance that there were several Americans at the show, and several, obviously, so many English people.
It also has to do with, I mean, this was
the fact that it was
arena that could hold, what was it, 21,000.
18,
where,
I think,
of
for
course,
that show.
You have a worldwide superstar like Ariana Grande. They're going to use that as a target. I've read a little up on the security at it, and so everybody that, you know, kind of hems and haws at going to the Garden, going to a basketball game, and all of those new metal detectors that you have to go to, this is why we do it, this is why bags are checked,
in mind that all of this happened outside of that area. So the best
the person
analogy,
wasn't actually inside of it.
They were just outside, like they were between like the entrance to the subway that you'd use to leave the arena and the arena.
The best analogy I can give you is if you know where the Bobby Orr statue is out in front of the Boston Garden, the TD Bank North Garden. That's kind of equivalent to where we
or
are.
Or like a Lansdowne Street.
Okay, imagine that that's an enclosed area. People are coming out of the concert. There's,
which it actually is going to be very soon, in the next year and a half.
Yeah.
TD Garden is going to be completely enclosed. You don't need a ticket to get in.
People are coming out of the concert and they're heading over to the Green Line station. That's where this guy is. Okay, so he's in a publicly accessible place, knowing that there are going to be crowds streaming out in this confined area, which provides him with an opportunity to inflict maximum carnage with the bomb.
Unfortunately, like as the analogy Lisa made, much like with the marathon bombings, it was this was clearly like very well, I'm not trying to commend the people who did this, but it was very well thought out in terms of what's the smallest amount that I can do to make the biggest impact.
Yeah.
My first instinct, though, was that with so many people being arrested and so many people allegedly being involved, that there weren't more opportunities for other suicide bombers. So it was in maybe like two sites, two entrances. With so many people, you would assume that maybe more were involved in the actual activity of doing it and be a martyr for whatever cause. But you had one compared to when there were the bombings in... where was that? In France, at the stadium. In Paris, there were two different bombers from either side. One went off, and then like 30 seconds later, the other one did. This was many people involved, allegedly, but one actually taking place.
But this is an evolution in tactics on the part of the terrorists.
Again, we're having a situation where it is crowds. So regardless if we're talking about somebody leaving a backpack somewhere, having a backpack strapped to themselves, or driving a car, the main thing is to kill, as we said so many times on this show. The main thing is to kill as many people as possible.
It's not necessarily even about that anymore. Because if you look at the Bataclan and that night in Paris, it takes coordination to do that. Mm-hmm. And anytime you have coordination, you have the risk of being discovered by security authorities. Mm-hmm. So if you have one person in country who knows what they're supposed to do and just goes ahead and does it, or you have one guy that goes and grabs the truck and drives it down the street and takes everybody out, it's not about the body count. It is about disrupting the sense of security in a public place. If this guy had killed two people, it still would have been a success.
No, of course.
Because it created mass pandemonium inside that arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I think.
No,
is,
I understand what you're saying.
Well, that's what I think is almost the most terrifying about this attack and attacks like it that have happened recently, is that I remember when September 11th happened that Lisa and I were both, 15, 16? Mm-hmm. And I remember my reaction to it, what kind of kept me going was, well, if they get to know more about us, like maybe they change their minds. Like maybe these terrorists who hate us and our way of life and our status quo and want to disrupt it would, you know, perhaps change their tune. And with all these attacks as they've unfolded over the last few years, it becomes more and more clear that they're doing a lot of research into our ways of life. Like the specific place that this took place was chosen based on, well, a lot of people from Manchester take this subway, so they're going to leave this place and the most people are going to be walking in this direction. Mm-hmm. And yep. This is why this is going to be successful.
You know the venue, you know who's going to be there, like
the
you
amount
know
of
when they're leaving.
That goes in, as opposed to, oh, there's going to be a lot of English people or a lot of Americans or a lot of Parisians or fill in the blank in this spot. Let's attack it. It's like they had to look into our way of lives and could still take... look at us as humans so objectively and so without any remorse, without any regard for, they're taking that subway home to see their families. They're taking that subway home to feed their dog.
But that tells you the level of anger that this enemy has.
That's true, yeah.
And here's reality. In their eyes, blowing up schoolgirls is 100% legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
It is justified.
No, of course, you're not dealing with normal people, and we've said that so many times.
Not because we're dealing with monsters.
No, it absolutely is. It doesn't matter what age, what religion, what sex you are.
Well, then you'd
whatever
better,
orientation.
Then you'd better count yourself among the monsters, because the reason that they believe this tactic is justified is because our drones and our missiles and our bombs have blown up schools, have blown up hospitals, have blown up weddings, have blown up sporting events.
No, I know, and I can't justify that.
We have killed their children. Therefore, they feel justified in killing our children. It is an eye for an eye. And it is because of things done in our name, under our flag, by our leaders here in the United States and in the United Kingdom, that we find ourselves in this situation.
But the reason it isn't the same, which... Hey, any members of ISIS out there listening to WMFO Medford right now, please listen. The reason it isn't the same is because these acts like what happened in Manchester are things that are individuals who are upset about things the American government have done, are doing.
And the UK government.
And the UK government.
Essentially, ISIS is kill every and anybody that doesn't follow suit with the ideals of jihad.
Well, and that, even beyond that, though, it's a matter, we get blamed. When I lived in Europe, this is the way I had to have this conversation 30 times. You blame our entire country or our entire way of life for the various countries that live, like the UK, like France, like Italy in a lot of ways, like so many countries that have had to deal with this. You treat it as though we like voted on this or something. Mm-hmm. Like we were like, yeah, totally go drone a school. Like it, and it's individuals that are responding.
You are correct. You are 100% correct. But for the people who lost their children.
Oh, I mean, there's no.
They don't see.
There's no consolation. I understand.
They don't see that process.
Yeah. But
they,
what you're trying
American,
to tell me is the person that is bombing in Manchester has that in their head. Because from what I understand,
yes,
with ISIS, it's kill all the infidel, kill everybody except us. We are the only people that believe in jihad. We are the only people that deserve to be on
this
planet.
Yes,
but these two girls on this radio show are showing their hair and their skin.
I completely get it in
ISIS
saying
would,
it makes them.
ISIS would not carry out these particular types of attacks if the Western world had not been blowing up the Middle East for the last 20 years.
Well, then it's going to longer than 20 years.
Now, do we know how long this man
20
has?
Years.
I'm going to say my whole life I've been. 20
do we know
years
how long
reasonably.
He has been in England?
He grew up in, he's a native. His parents immigrated from Libya. He grew up in Manchester, so he spent all of his 22 years there. He was recently in Libya, and they now believe Syria, and returned to Manchester just a few days before this happened. So there's a lot to investigate over there. They will get some of the bad guys. I got to question what MI5 and MI6 are doing over there, because this is the second time in 2 months that somebody known to them has carried out a mass casualty attack.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to giggle at that point because it's not a laughing matter, but just bad guys seems just like such an understatement at this point.
But that's reality.
In so many of these situations,
are not people that are unknown to, if we're talking about here in the United States, unknown to FBI.
Yeah.
If we're talking about in the European Union, whether it's Paris, whether it's England, these are names that we know. These are names that some had some sort of connection or communication with the countries that crazy was on Trump's quote-unquote travel ban, which really wasn't a travel ban. These are the people that we need to stop, and we don't know who everybody is. We hadn't had some names, but there needs to be more of a focus on it, and things are going to continually happen. We say here in America, oh, well, we're safe here. It's happening overseas. That could happen here.
Yeah.
It has happened here.
Pulse nightclub.
Mm-hmm. And scary. Well, in sports news today, we learned Rio Olympics may be over, but the headaches continue. A federal prosecutor looking into last year's Rio de Janeiro Olympics said that many of the venues, quote, are white elephants and were built with no planning. The scathing report offered Monday at a public hearing confirms what was reported several months after the games ended. Many of the venues are emptied, boarded up, and have no tenants or income, with a maintenance cost dumped on the federal government. Quote, there was no planning. There was no planning when they put out the bid to host the games, no planning after, said federal prosecutor Leonardo Dimitri. There are white elephants today. What we are trying to look at here is how to turn this into something usable. A federal prosecutor looked into last year's Rio de Janeiro, said many of the... Oh, sorry. Repeated. 9 months after the Rio de Janeiro ended, local organization committee still owe creditors $30 million and 137 medals awarded to the games are rusting and needed to be repaired. So not only do you have all of these just broken down building, because first of all, the lead up to, and Shay, I'm so sorry that you were not here to listen to our colorful commentation about the lead up to the Rio Olympics, and that every day sort of was a new problem.
Oh, yes.
So leading up to it, we had the It wasn't crocodile. It was a different sort
of... Cayman on the golf course.
Yep, on the golf course. So
Pooh Bay. Let's not forget Pooh Bay.
Crocodile protectors. I don't know. The golfers couldn't golf. And then there was Pooh Bay. They were talking about how if you actually tried to row, you would get feces on you. It's completely covered in poo. All of the biking trails were conveniently located on hills and cliffs that you may or may not fall off of. We didn't know. On top of the structures, not even being completed up until 3 weeks before. Oh, and then there was no public transportation at all. And the ticket sales were only at, I believe, 17% 2 months prior to the Olympics.
The International Olympic...
I can continue if you would like.
The International...
I'm listening to this like, no wonder Ryan Lochte acted such a fool.
The International Olympic Committee.
And we as America, looked bad. It was crazy.
The International Olympic Committee basically conspired with corrupt Brazilian officials to rob the people of Brazil. That's what Rio 2016 was.
Cute.
It was blatantly obvious when it was awarded.
It was blatantly obvious
in the lead up to it. It is blatantly obvious now.
And that's what would have happened if we had the Olympics here in Boston in 2024.
Yeah.
Had it, and it was the same write-up. They paint this beautiful picture and give you this, you know, colorful dossier of how amazing the Olympics going to be, and you open it up, and streamers are shooting out, and the Brazilian music's playing, and they hand you a cocktail. That's not what it was.
No.
You have a country that is in severe financial crisis, that at the time and still kind of is in severe political turmoil, with the fact that you had the president of the country and all the five people under her working in cahoots with the major construction firms.
Yeah.
Sounds so familiar.
Current acting president is about to be brought up on charges. So
yes,
the fun goes on.
He was the third in command. And it continues and continues where you have these people on the other side of the fence in Brazil that are incredibly poor, impoverished, have no way of getting out of that life. And this is what's happening. Apparently,
some of them got free jackets by volunteering and then not showing up.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, so like I said, we have 137 medals. I believe it's 1.2% of the medals is actually gold. So they like spray painted them the night before. People are angry. It's turning their chest green.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
They're rusting.
Well, I remember even when they announced that the games were going to be in Rio, my first thought was like, this is where, not to sound like an ugly American, but hey, here we are. I thought, this is where Americans go to like have the plane ticket be the most expensive thing about their vacation.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's like Americans when they go to the Dominican Republic or things like mm-hmm. this is where people purposely go to have a cheap vacation because it's a beautiful yet impoverished country. Like, and that's why...
Oh, Copacabana Beach, beautiful.
Well, that's the thing. It's like...
Rio, corruption.
Yeah, like it's like, okay,
that's,
great.
That's
there's
actually
that
the new
statue
slogan.
With the arms out.
$10 hookers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it already seemed a little... How are they doing this?
It's a mirror image of what could have... I mean, not to that extent, because Boston is not that bad. It's a mirror image of what Boston 2024 could have been. Mm. With the fact that you have just a line of people that were lining their own pockets.
Oh, yeah.
So the connection between Mayor Marty Walsh and everybody that was joined in. John Fish. Conveniently... owner of Suffolk Construction. Oh, all of Suffolk Construction. Now, you had the former mayor of Rio de Janeiro. He is also being faced by lawsuits of the IOCC with a $15 million in deals for construction. It just continues.
What a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you a deal. You build it. It still continues. Well, in entertainment news, the creators of Fyre Festival... are under fire. He actually brought this up to me.
I don't know how you missed it.
I'm going to enlighten you and our listeners. Entrepreneur Billy McFarlane and rapper Jay-Z have been the targets of several lawsuits since Fire Festival, the weekend-long luxury music event that they had planned in Bahamas for late April, fell into chaos before it could begin. According to the New York Times report published Sunday, Fire Media, which was the event coordinator and was founded by McFarlane and Ja Rule, is facing criminal investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York and the FBI. Investigators are looking into allegation of mail, wire, and security frauds, according to the report. Quote, I cannot emphasize enough how sorry I am that we fell short of our goal. I'm committed to working actively to find a way to make this right, not for just investors, but for those who plan to attend, McFarlane said in a statement to the Times. Pending lawsuits include one of the festival's investors who said that they are missing millions of dollars, as well as several of the attendees who claim to breach of a covenant in good faith and negligent misrepresentation on part of the organizers and PR firms representing them. A host of supermodels had promoted the festival on social media, including Kendall Jenner, Hailey Baldwin, Hailey Hadid, Blink-182, Migos, Tyga, and Disclosure were among the artists scheduled to perform. Many of the artists are now stuck with lawsuits pending $330,000 in custom fees and lawyer fees.
WMFO Medford, here's where the organizers of the Fire Festival went wrong. They could have solved this the easiest way possible, okay? They spent all of about $5,000, I think, setting up some FEMA tents on the beach, mm-hmm. some velvet ropes.
Yeah, so do you know
about
this?
And some sandwiches, right?
So cheese this sandwiches. Was a music festival, well, a big event that was supposed to go up against
Here's what they should have done.
It's like Coachella, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's what they should have done. Go call up one of them reality TV companies, all right? Have them send out a couple of camera crews. Tell them, we just told a bunch of Instagram people and YouTubers that there's going to be a big festival on a beach in the Bahamas. It ain't going to happen. Go circle the area, shoot it, and we'll sell it to one of the networks. And believe me, you would have had a hit show out of this and no lawsuits.
If you want to
read restitution for the lawsuits that would have.
You could have called it Surprise Survivor.
Right. It's like that Scotland reality show that they didn't tell everybody for a month that it was canceled and they were really angry when they got back home.
These guys are supposed to be big entertainment types. Why am I thinking this up for you?
Yeah. You read a great article. Go to Spin. Just type it in Fire Festival. And they have a timeline of how this rolled out. Now, you would think that because there were many publications that were pointing out all the falsies that were happening with this festival, and it may not run. Is this going to be able to open up? Are people going to be able to attend? These influencers, these attendees of this event are stupid enough to pay upwards of, you know, $15,000, which they believe that they're going on a special treasure hunt for this deal. You get a wristband, you get a beach yoga. And to see all this and be a part of a social media extravaganza, whereas if you actually made it to the island after many emergency airplane stops, they couldn't get to the island, you showed up and there were what was it, wild boars?
Yeah, there were wild boars running all over the place.
FEMA tents set up on the beach.
Roving gangs.
There were
robbing people.
No bathrooms. There were actually not even porta potties.
Can I tell you, I would go out of my way to watch a reality television program
that is
Lord of the Flies as performed by Instagram influencers.
Well, that's
because no matter who dies, America wins.
This is one of the few times I will agree with you on this subject, Derek, which is that this is kind of a sign of, or it's more a symbol of the millennial way of thinking, which is just, hey, this sounds cool.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, like in theory, oh my God, like Coachella in the Bahamas.
The biggest point is shame on these people that put it together, Ja Rule said, you know, I hope this is going to pass. At least it got our name out. That was a quote by him. Shame on you. And shame on McFarlane for trying to, days leading up to it, you knew it was not going to happen.
And not
God
doing a thing.
God forbid you are so deep. I mean, you're even more in deep now, considering the amount of money that you need to pay out in lawsuits. But give refunds to these people. You know it wasn't going to happen.
They don't have the money for the refunds. But that's my point.
Putting people in danger, and regardless of who it was and what they what their intentions were, you were putting people in danger by going to this.
Ja Rule is going to walk away from this scot-free.
But that's
Ja Rule is going to be like, I was just doing a play. I'm gone.
Crazy conception that this is all going to blow over and Fire Media is going to skyrocket into
no such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm.
But that's my point, is that is not that millennials and of the like are going to feed into this, but that these people, Ja Rule, Billy McFarland, all of his people.
They actually brought Biggie back.
It was bring him back to life. Was that part of it? Was that part of the $15,000 draw? Was not.